Make it happen.
She wants to play some paintball.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first on the agenda is approval of minutes for the July 19th regular meeting.
Well, I move we approve them, subject to, yes, I just move we approve them.
Second.
Discussion. Did you say it was subject to what?
It's a little tight, I'm not worried about.
Okay, I just heard that it was subject to something.
No.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.
I move we approve the minutes for our July 28th, 2016 special meeting.
Second.
Discussion, none, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that was easy. Have to get one of those staples buttons. I don't even know if they sell those anymore. Okay, I don't know what order it is in your package, Shana. We did get, I did get today the latest numbers from Troop D for incidences throughout the town. And one of the good things for the past month, there wasn't anything to do with burglaries or larceny. So that's a definite step in the right direction.
What's a goose?
DUIs.
DUIs. Driving under the influence.
The P? I might just not read that right.
DUI apostrophe S. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's a...
Yep. Sorry. It's okay. Should have seen the list we used to get a few years ago. It was like 4 pages long and then about 100 different codes and spread across. And God, if you didn't know the code, you weren't going to figure it out. Okay, some information from the Access Agency, which I'll post on the board. Instead of making a copy of this, it's just a card about cell phones and so forth, and a little bit about what the Access Agency does. Taste of the Valley, Sunday, September 18, 2016, at Bald Hill in Woodstock. That is put on by the Last Green Valley. There's also the Chamber of Conference, which we are a member of. There is a after-hours recess at the Seward Pavilion at the Rectory School. Has to do with meet and network with local business leaders and individuals. It's one of the local gatherings, and to get more involvement in there. Okay, we did receive a petition number 1427 for C-Tech Solar LLC petitioning the for a ruling in their process of building solar on Ballard Road.
I didn't get that.
Okay. You didn't get that?
No.
Pass it down. It's just notifying the town for the siting council, so they're making their application. Another step, just like with the energy plants and so forth. And I talked about the Last Green Valley. This was the accommodating letter, stating what they're doing. Connecticut State Library, the grant award payment. This was to myself that was on the town clerk. That has to do with a grant that they do every year for record
preservation.
Is a $4,000 grant. So it's a contract. Just showing that for getting that money that was signed on the 20th. And the...
Is there any particular restrictions on that, or...
Yeah, it's a grant that's there every year, and it has to do with preservation of records within the town clerk and getting it digitized and so forth. And it covers the cost of, for them to be able to do so much within their 4,000.
Okay.
And they do that every year.
It's dedicated to certain...
Yes.
To doing certain particular projects.
Exactly. Conservation for public records.
Thank you.
This is just to show that we had gotten the grant that is applied. To best of my knowledge, we've never been denied that.
Okay.
It actually pays for some part-time help to come in and actually process the records and run it through. And Chamber of Commerce, they have a schedule of a few things going on. One was the Rectory School After Business on the 24th. August 10th, Northeast Placement Services. They'll be holding a function there on August 30th at Bloom on Woodstock Hill Ribbon Cutting, another event that the Chamber of Commerce is putting on. That will be published on the board. It's open to anybody that wishes to go. Connecticut Water, it's straight from the tap bill, which it's something that goes out to all of the, whoever's on the Connecticut Water, which is the center of town. It's a letter that's sent out to them stating what's going on with their updates on information and so forth that they're doing in the community to make water more. That'll be posted as well. And that is basically it. Not a lot. More of it's of functions that are going to be going on. I don't know if either one of you. And the other one was the letter that we all received about from Renee King for the, energy plans and what she's been up to date. So, either one of you have anything?
Just an email from the library director about the library board and the historical summary on the sprinkler system there.
Okay.
I don't know if you wanted to maybe put that for discussion on our next meeting.
Sure.
That we have some time to look at it now and perhaps invite Allison to our meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I didn't know if this was under Selectman Thomas. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. That meeting, unless they send somebody from the our next meeting today is what, the
second?
The second. Allison will not be here.
Oh, okay.
She will be away.
Okay.
So we can shoot for that, the first meeting in September. That'll work.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. Comments. I'll let you guys go first this time, if you'd like. If you have any selectmen's comments.
I thought that was it, actually.
All right. Okay. I've got a little laundry list here. Just some quick updates. Aquatic Road Bridge closes effective Thursday morning at 7 a.m. to start the removal and rebuilding of that bridge. It actually closed yesterday. We reopened it this morning. There were some miscommunications. The contractor did not notify the people that were needed in order to close it from EMS services and bus routes and so forth. There was a breakdown in communications. So even though he's doing some work on it, dismantling and so forth, the railings and so forth, it'll officially close 7 a.m. so they can start tearing the deck up. Notifications have gone out accordingly today. State police will be patrolling areas of concern in town, such as Riverside Drive, Buckley Hill Road, areas that that we get at the office for excessive speeds and so forth.
Is that a warning?
Huh?
Is that a warning?
Yeah, hey, take it however you want. I mean, obey the, you know, the speed, you know, the laws of the road accordingly. But when they get in, I do have a contact, Sergeant Joe McCusker, out of Troop D, is assigned to Thompson and we do converse when something comes up or when it's needed.
This is a sort of heightened speed enforcement, is that what you're describing?
Basically, we give him areas of concern or where people have made concerns about what may be going on in their neighborhoods and so forth. So when they have, because usually they've got maybe two troopers that cover the district on different, you know, shifts so many towns. If they happen to be up in Thompson writing reports or they have a little bit of time, they'll know where to, you know, maybe just sit and deter what may be going on by their presence as well.
Any feedback or information about the warning radar signage, you know, the little thing that tells you how fast you're going compared to the posted limit?
I haven't been able to find one.
Okay. The state doesn't...
State police doesn't have one. I talked with them yesterday. The only one that does have one is Putnam, and I'm not sure exactly...
It's a town asset, then?
If they will loan it out. I know NECOG had one. They put it out, and it was stolen the next day. They took it and went. There is a possibility of trying to find a location, a vendor for a... solar one that you mount to a telephone pole or whatever, which would be a little harder to steal, you know, than one of these roadside ones. And I haven't been able to find one, but I've talked to state DOT. They don't have Troop D, not Troop D, but District 2 does not have it. State police don't have it.
Interesting.
Yeah, NECOG had one. It's gone. It's just one of those things.
Okay, thank you.
So we've had that. But I have seen them. You see them on telephone poles and commercials and different things, and I just not have been able to find a vendor or a cost on that. I did get a response back from DOT because I had reached out to them for a couple concern areas in town. Route 200, Route 12, both intersections of Buckley Hill Road, bad corners. We've had multiple accidents there to take a look at the safety of that intersection. I already had some signage that was added to that in the past, which I had mentioned. Next up is possible reconstruction or, you know, sightline stuff, but that has to come out of Newington. So they will take a look at that, as well as the crosswalk for Thatcher Road with Dollar General is and so forth to get one in there. And another topic was Blaine Road and Route 12 intersection, how wide that is by the mill. People actually don't know where to go when they're exiting Blaine Road. Okay. You know how wide that is. So they'll take a look at that as well to see what recommendations. Could be line, it could be signs, whatever they... You have to work with them when it comes to an intersection on State Road. Quick update, buildings remediation with Phase 1, Phase 2, Phase 3. Buildings, we did have a meeting... God, everything's blending. I can't remember if it was Monday or last week, where the engineer came down and gave his overview. DEP also came in to look at the presentation that is to the point and had a good look-see at some of the stuff that we may, some of the recommendations may be bury it, cap it, leave it in place, don't disturb it, you know, depending on that type of stuff. So they're finalizing that. We are still under budget, and which gives us a possibility of a few more minor testings and samplings to do, like sediment in the river and so forth that may have been dumped, you know, for over the years. So they're working at that and the final what the possibilities of reusing the property, you know, for the future may bring. So that's going to be the final thing that they will be preparing.
Will they bring that to? Who do they bring?
That's going to go to. That comes to the buildings committee, and then from there it'll go to a public informational, like they had at the library before, presented to the public.
Okay.
So, we are getting closer with that, and the CME contract for the brownstone, the Brownsfield cleanup, is getting closer to being signed. There was a couple things in the contract that had to be finished up, and we just got that information back, got to put it in writing, and we'll award that so they can start on that phase next. So one's ending, the other one will continue, so that's working forward. Road work prep for chip sealing underway as of tomorrow morning for Blaine Road, Reardon Road, Gomo Road, and Elliott Hill Road up there in order for that 5 to 6 miles of chip sealing that we do every year. Okay, it's part of Leo's annual.
Which roads?
It's not on that list.
I was going to say.
No, because it's in this budget to do now.
Okay.
And it'll be done.
Okay, well, so what roads?
It's Blaine.
Gotcha.
Reardon, which goes from Red Bridge to Blaine, not the stuff that they overlaid.
Okay.
The other section.
Okay, go ahead.
Gomo Road, okay, and Elliott Hill, which is up there. And I did not get an answer on them. There's a short strand of C Strand Road that's up there that he didn't mention, but he should be touching that up. I think it's about a little over a quarter mile or something up there as well. That's all in that loop that we're going to be doing. From there, he's going to be headed up to Porter Plain Road to start the overlay process up there because of that road breaking up. And that's where he'll be heading next. I'm also getting some information on streetlight conversion in town to LEDs. Actually, I met with Eversource today. They came down and gave us a list of the roads that we have and basically the different grades of light that are on the various poles to the best of their knowledge. They still say we got some mercury lights out there, and I find that hard to believe, but it's a possibility. So they're going to figure the cost and the savings. They came in for some info from our supplier for energy, and basically...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Right now, we pay a fixed fee for every street light. Is that how that works?
Yes.
So the savings is going to be a different fixed fee? Is that how that...
It would be is we get... They own the light, they maintain the lights and the fixtures. It uses so much wattage for so forth.
Sure.
Going to LEDs, as you know, we save money. But that's billed through TransCanadian, which is our energy supplier currently. So they came in and got that rate of what we're paying them under the current contract so they can figure in the savings based on currently lights are 84 watts. And the replacement of equivalent is 44.
Okay.
So you have a savings and...
So they'll calculate that.
They're going to calculate that.
Being whatever's $8 a month.
They're going to show us what... They're going to show us what our net savings will be over time. So they're gathering that up. And if we decide to go to that, based on the age of our high-pressure sodiums, we have not had a... Usually they figure about every 6 years or so, they come through and they... change out the fixtures.
Okay.
And we're due. But they're holding off to see if we want to go with the LEDs because it is a little different.
Sure.
And there's a couple of scenarios and they're going to give a cost and so forth of maybe doing a test. And I had suggested Riverside Drive from 98 towards the KFC and Main Street. Change those lights out if we agree on it. That'll give the public a chance to see how they look versus the high-pressure sodium, because it is a difference.
So right now we pay a fixed amount per month or whatever the time period is, a fixed amount for the lights.
Per light.
And to who? Eversource?
We pay it to Eversource on their delivery charge.
Okay.
You know, for delivery of the...
For the light.
For the light and the delivery.
And that includes the maintenance of it.
Everything.
The whole shebang.
Yes.
Okay. So...
And then we pay so much based on what the lights are. They calculate the what they draw, and that figure is given to TransCanadian in charging the actual energy cost of 6 cents, 7 cents, whatever we pay for a kilowatt hour.
Oh, so in addition to the $8, there's
yes.
energy charge. So it's not just $8, it's $8 plus.
That is correct.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
Right,
because so it's $8 for the fixture, so to speak, and then plus.
Yeah.
Plus.
They're gonna give us. They're gonna give me all those numbers.
Plus, so we pay $8 plus juice.
Correct.
Okay, so now it'll be still some amount per month, and still
right.
But the juice cost will be a little lower.
The juice cost should be lower.
Gotcha.
But they'll figure it based on the numbers that I gave them today.
Gotcha. Okay, good.
All right, which we'll find out how that factors in.
Okay,
so that's one option there. because, as you know, in the day, everybody had the option of buying their power from CLMP, as well as the transmission of it, or when they deregulated, if you want to call it, they can go the other way, and you make your call. So they have a flat rate that does that, so we are working. I'll have more of that information, hopefully, for the next meeting. Just to bring you up to date, the window and one of the doors were shot out at the library a week and a half ago. Police are investigating. They do have some pictures and information that was recovered through the security system at the library, but they're investigating it. All right, so don't know where that is at the moment. They'll do their due diligence. That's been...
Do we know the time of day?
It was about 12:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Okay.
At night, no one was there.
No, at night, nobody was there. So we got that. So the door should have been replaced today. Should have been replaced today, and then they're going to replace the window. And it's the window on the far end. If you're in the library, look down. If you're at the counter, look straight down on the left.
Okay.
One of those real big ones.
Facing south.
Same type of window that we had when we did the interviews last week. That was behind us.
It's at the north end of the building.
But it was at the south end of the
building.
Right, but it's identical to the window at the north end that they shot through one of the panes. Okay, and did it. So we have insurance, $1,000 deductible, and it's good. We got to fix it. So that's being repaired. NECOG is starting to do interviews with the various employees and so forth, starting tomorrow and through the rest of the week, meeting with them. And just to let you know, Leo hit me today that we had two sweepers on the road. The 1983 went down, and based on the cost, it's not worth repairing because of the age and so forth. So we're down to 186 sweeper. And Leo asked me if we were thinking about what we were going to do with the sweeper. And at that point, I told him we still have to go to referendum for the library school roof up on the hill, which we're waiting for information on. And we as a board can discuss it, bring it back to the Board of Finance, and opt to add that in if we think, you know, it's appropriate at the time.
If I recall it, just trusting my memory, that was the most soundly defeated of the four referendum that were proposed.
Yes, that was the least purchase on the...
least acceptable, if I recall.
Yeah, correct. So I don't know.
Doesn't mean we shouldn't consider it again.
No, it doesn't mean it, obviously, but it was one of those.
From my memory, if I recall correctly.
Correct. So maybe without everything...
But nevertheless.
Something that we'll have to think about. Figure out where we're going to go with that. And the HVAC, I'll see if somebody from the library wishes to come, or we can wait for Allison to come back for the agenda. That's it.
The only thing we brought up, streetlights, the lights at the park were on, and it was like 6:23, 6:25.
Yep.
There was no reason for them to be on yet, so I don't know if they're on a timer. We can get them.
I saw that this evening myself.
Oh, okay.
When I went outside, and I will have Leo make those adjustments with the timers tomorrow.
Okay.
On a timer or not on a photo big tape with TXL?
No, they're on a timer.
A timer, okay.
Shana had asked for, and I did not add it to my comments, Shana had mentioned about putting a street light at the entrance to the park, right at the bridge here on Main Street. Good news with that. We can do anything we want there. We can buy the light and put it up.
Okay.
And we can buy one. I'm waiting for a cost from the electrician, similar to what we've got in the parks for that entrance that would fit in. He says there is something. That pole was installed with the service meter for the gazebo and so forth.
Okay.
So we have an account. We have a meter. We tap in on the other side of the meter. It just stays in our regular bill. We put up the light with a photo cell on it, LED, and we'll be good. I'm waiting for a cost.
Okay.
Okay. But I didn't know if it was their pole, if they had to run a wire over, you know, as part of the thing. We're good with that. It's not a problem. So As soon as I get that from the electrician, I will bring that up. And our AC system went down in the building Sunday. Did not want to see that happen, it did. And valve let go. They had to order the valve, drain the system, recharge it, and roughly the cost on that is between about $800, just FYI. So we have that up and going again. So that's what I've got. All right.
I'm sorry, there is one thing I didn't mention. I did attend the government council on climate control.
How was it?
It was fraught with technical difficulties. The presentation was actually done in Hartford and beamed to our meeting in
the location.
Yeah, and the sound was only came through when the speaker was not speaking, so it was kind of frustrating.
So, really?
Yeah, so, and the audience was limited to maybe, I don't think there were 20 people there. So.
At NECOG?
Yeah, and then some of that was actually the staff and so on, so relatively small participation. But it was interesting to learn about, what's out there in terms of the issues. The goal of the country and our state is to reduce our emissions to 80% of what they were in 2001. Thank you. That's an incredible goal. Our current projections are that although we are reducing emissions, nowhere near making the projected goal by 2050, which is the time frame. So there's scratching the heads about things to do to try to make that happen. The biggest source of pollution is transportation, vehicles. There are things that can happen, going to all electric vehicles and so on, but an awful lot of things have to happen both for that, renewable energy sources and elimination of coal and on and on and on, and even reducing gas as a power source to minimal amount, maintaining nuclear. It goes on and on, and it's going to be very tough for our state and our country
to meet the requirements,
the mission accords that we've agreed to as a state, as a country, as a world, I think. That's kind of a summary of it.
Well, maybe we'll get those Volkswagens off the road.
That would help a little bit. And I believe the next meeting is November. I think it's November.
Stay tuned.
Hopefully, I only got the notice the morning of the meeting, so okay. But I believe it's November is the next meeting.
All right.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. All set?
That's it.
Citizens' comments. Sharon.
Sharon Rinkle, 46 Jones Lane. Just wanted to let you know that the Bridge Aquatic is already closed.
It should be open right now.
It's closed. I just came from there. I live there. They were working on it all. I walked down to my mail this afternoon around 2-ish. They were working on it. And then I just came to this meeting. I came right out of Pioneer's Lane, and they have a big piece of equipment across the bridge.
The signs are up saying it's closed. Yeah. We weren't by a car when we get here.
So it's closed.
It's up next to coaches. Bridge out.
All right, I'll look at it in the morning. I'll reach out to the engineer because that's the email that I got this morning.
That the bridge, they were working here this afternoon.
That the bridge
guys there.
Was to remain open until 7 a.m. Thursday morning.
Mm-mm. It's closed. It was open yesterday afternoon, but then the signs went up late afternoon, and then, like I said, I was there.
Okay. Thank you.
They were actually working on it at 7:30 last night. I was really surprised. Big machine in the middle of the bridge.
Please identify yourself.
Yes. Your name, please, for the record.
Can you say that again? They were
Ramon Jameson, Taylor Way. And yes, this answer popped in. I didn't even try to go through this. Glad I didn't.
All right. Obviously, if they got a machine, I'm not going to do anything about it tonight. All right. Al?
Al Andrew, 33 Randall. I was going to ask about that because on the radio, Winnie, they said it was had changed. It's open now, going to be closed Thursday. So we had heard that, so we said, we're coming that way. You get the coaches, it was a sign for a job, so we didn't even try.
Okay.
On the Blaine Road thing, that is a mess. People think they can go anywhere they want when they're turning left coming down Blaine. What I would suggest is start a double line on the bridge and run it right to the stop sign. There is a stop sign and a stop line. So people know that that's where they're supposed to be. It doesn't matter if you're turning right or left or going across the street into whatever that little road is. But I mean, we tried to go up Blaine and there's someone on the left that said, well, where are we supposed to go? So I think something needs to be done about that for sure. And that to me would be the easiest fix. Double line, cross the bridge, right to the stop sign. So people know that this is where your lane is. The other thing is, you talked about records. I showed you, I forget if it was Ashford's probate records that were still in our back room. Has anything been done about that?
No, they're still there.
They don't belong here. They should either be returned to Ashford or to the probate. First off, they're taking up our room, but it's not our responsibility to have those. They should have never been putting stuff in that bathroom in the first place.
I'll contact Leah tomorrow.
Thank you.
Dottie mentioned it to me when she had been out there digging through stuff,
yeah,
that they were out there.
Of course, they did take some of our furniture and left some of the records behind. I don't get it.
All right, thanks, Al. Anything else?
No.
Steve?
Emergency management. What happens tonight when there's a fire or medical down that way and the bridge is closed and nobody knows about it?
We're going to have to call QV and tell them that it's open so the dispatch knows.
That it's closed?
Yeah. I'll do it at the end of the meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. Discussion on the letter for the power plants. We have the letter that Shana had drafted that we had read, we got it reformatted so it's across the bottom in this fashion with the on the letterhead. I didn't see any other errors in it. Where now it's properly spaced and we can sign it at the bottom. And it's
thank you very much for putting that.
Okay. Did a great job. And we can sign this and send it off. I have it's the right thing to do based on our conversations and so forth. So I'll make a motion that we sign this as presented and send it off to the appropriate authorities.
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
So why don't we just sign three copies and we can all three.
Oh, I don't have the other.
All right, sign this one and then I'll make copies. I won't sign it in the orange pen. I'll have to borrow yours.
Ken, can I ask a question?
Sure.
This is going to one of the power plants?
This is going to Burville.
Okay,
that's the one that we had been discussing right along. And we got it formatted out accordingly and so forth to meet the needs based on our stance.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll make copies and we will get those off. Thank you much. Now, I did have a comment. Since we are talking about the energy plants, and the one that has been proposed, that we did get the letter from Renee King that's been attending all of those meetings,
mm-hmm.
I did asked Shayna if she could draft one that would be appropriate for the Killingley one. And she was so kind to do that as well and modify it.
Yeah, so you see that the only, well, there are a few changes, one being that, you know, we changed the name to the town of Killingley and the Killingley Power Plant. I mentioned the National Heritage Corridor, more so just because it will impact this area. And did note the 8 operational power plants within the 31-mile tract of land, which goes across Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. So this one is more towards catering and making sure that we are securing the last Green Valley and that we're doing our part as stewards of the land. And then the other, I think the only other thing that I added was the health factors and potential risks are also being raised. So there was just a few word changes to that, only because the letter that we just signed had noted that we had heard, you know, that the residents vocalized it during public hearings and meetings, and we didn't have the forms yet on this power plant. And then noted to the, instead of light, noise, and water pollution, I put light, noise, and ground pollution, only because I mentioned the air quality for nearby towns previous to that statement. So those are really the only notable changes to this one. I was unsure who to address it to specifically because I didn't know where in the process we were, if we're sending it to our state reps or if we were sending it to the town council.
Let's send it to the state reps. They need to act on our behalf.
State reps, the siting council as well, send it to them all. That letter from Renee that you have, did you name the... It's the Killingley Energy Center that she's got it. What did you write?
Killingley Energy Center.
Perfect.
By NTE Energy.
Good. So we cover that. Other than putting it onto the our letterhead and spacing it correctly with our, you know, our letterhead.
And I think that just the intro will need to be changed accordingly. So when we send it to our state reps, it says that when we send it to the town council and then the Connecticut siting, do we know that it's going to the Connecticut siting council or board?
I would send it to the Connecticut siting council.
We'll have to look at the appropriate name for that.
Okay.
Is the water used for this plant?
We didn't know where the water was going to be.
Is it coming from a river?
We don't know where it's going to be going, but we do know that it's going to be, there are certain mileages that were noted on the power plant website that I went to in terms of proximity to Alexander's Lake, yes, and the schools.
No, but what's the source of the coolant water?
Oh, the source I...
That could be out of the Quinebaug River. It could be... It's not... Do you know where it's coming from?
The reason I ask is I learned from about
the Connecticut Water. Is that the company?
Yeah.
They're saying they can handle it. Where they get it, I don't know.
It says maybe even as far away as Plainfield.
Oh, okay. I mean, it was an issue with Burville because they're opening up a contaminated well, and so there were some issues there.
But they'll be tagged.
The source here is from a river or something. It's not
necessarily
an aquifer issue, which is addressing.
Well, they'll be tapping the water from, it's got to be coming from an aquifer, I would think, of some sort drilled down.
It may not be.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to come out of the river.
That's my question, I think.
But with coming out of the river, then they would have to get permission from...
I don't understand, I'm just...
The Army Corps or whatever that regulates our rivers, so forth. Excuse me?
Just wondering if that is exactly, it's appropriate for the... Burville one, I didn't know.
No, I think that our concerns are that there's 8 plants within the 31 miles, you know, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and, you know, the resources and everything that are, you know, we're right smack in the middle.
Yeah, we're concerned about pollution.
As well. No, I'm saying it's a whole picture of I mean, it's definite opposition that's coming from us on this.
No, but my point is that we're addressing the concern this has on our, on Thompson's water sources. On Burgle, I understand the connection. Here, it's a question, is there a connection to our water? And maybe there is, it's just a question.
I believe it would impact Alexander Lake.
I don't want to stop progress through a big analysis, but I don't want to overreach here and claim a problem if there isn't a problem.
Right.
But Alexander's Lake is in the town of Killingley. But I mean, you do have fallout that can have an effect on what would be coming out of the air into the lakes and ponds and waterways as well, which eventually does seep into the aquifers and groundwater. I mean, that's going back to the days of acid rain and that type of stuff that you can't keep piling it on and on.
I just don't want to be factual and not overreach our, you know, the issue.
Do you see a change that you want to make? Or?
Well, if it's appropriate, I don't mind saying this. I just don't want to, if it's not appropriate, then maybe we just want to delete that part.
And exactly.
In other words, maybe.
You're looking at the fourth paragraph.
The fourth paragraph, yeah. It does say it's unclear, so maybe that doesn't imply that we know. So maybe that's not unfair to say that. Again, I don't want to make an accusation that's off base. That's my point.
You can leave it broad by Thompson's water sources.
It's unclear to the Thompson board the impact, if any, that this project would have.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, because then that makes it a little bit more minimal.
I just don't want to claim harm if there isn't any. Otherwise, we look a little foolish.
Unfortunately, a lot of the.
I want to recognize Alan and meeting, so like you might have a.
Go ahead, Alan.
I'm just going to suggest on this, treat it like secondhand smoke, secondary source of pollution for our water. You know, that kind of says something without quite being.
Yep.
Can you say that verbiage again?
I don't think someone said use quite those words, but. Well, you could talk about contamination of water or water resources or things like that, something along that line. I'm not saying it perfectly either, but.
It could look possible.
Yeah.
You know.
It's probably more than possible.
Well, sure.
Maybe the impact, if any, that this project would have to just local water sources?
Yeah, no one.
No, that's fine. No problem. Okay, so I'll make that change and email it over.
If you email it to the office, I can put it out.
Just the email when it's done, I'll stop by and sign.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we need a motion?
Yeah, motion. Make a motion to send the. Letter of concerns for the Killingley Energy.
Objection.
Okay. Go ahead, phase it then, Steve.
Make a motion that we send a letter of objection to the officials in Killingley and our state representatives, noting our objection to the power plant in Killingley.
And the siting council.
And siting council, I'm sorry.
Siting council.
Second.
Discussion?
Well, I'm going to say as revised.
As revised.
Yes, okay, yep, and I'll second that.
All right. Further discussion? None? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, send that over, and I will have that available to be signed. Okay, with that, moving on, brings us to setting a town meeting that we had talked about. And the probable date that I have, I got from Renee, the town clerk, would be to do a town meeting, and I would be actually to do it on Thursday, August 18th. I think we normally do them at 7 p.m., if I'm correct. Excuse me?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, 7 p.m. sounds right.
Yeah, the advertisement, I would place it in the Villager for the August 12th edition, which meets the criteria, so I've got roughly a, between now and Monday, to get it to the Villager with the proper lettering, which I have from the last town meeting that we did pertaining to resolutions. And we would take the first resolution that we did have, which was that we had drafted towards Burville, and take that one and amend that to work in the one for the Killingley as well. And, you know, substitute where it says, you know, Burville, Rhode Island, remove that and put Killingley into that verbiage. So to set the town meeting for Thursday the 18th at 7 p.m. seems to be the best date. We can have our discussion on that, and that would be the most appropriate with enough time to get this done. And that's all we would take care of that night.
That's
yeah. I have no ordinances that are ready to go forward after talking with town council.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
He had doubts about the inland wetlands and the conservation. He says he believes, and reading the those two, that we already did separate them out accordingly, but he would take a look at it. Our efforts at the moment have been dictated towards finishing up the Aquatic Road bridge language, the working on the sewer project, and the school, where our attentions have been.
But our the wording was actually prepared for the last town meeting. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, I showed him that.
And he still thought it wasn't.
And he looked at the original ordinance book done in 11, and he said that it had been separated out.
It had been separated.
Back then in 11, when you guys did it. He believed that it was.
No, longer ago than that.
Yeah. That's when we did the wholesale changes back
but
then.
But I think that wasn't what the changes were about, as I recall. That it was more about membership and other things that had happened about.
Can we try to understand?
And how they're appointed.
Can I try to understand?
Go ahead.
He had reviewed and, for lack of a better term, the proposed ordinance at the last town meeting, and what we're going to propose here is virtually identical, or is identical. He's not ready to pass it this time.
Best on his, if I remember exactly what he said, there was conversations about a variety of things for that meeting that night.
Okay.
There was ordinances and stuff that were presented that he had not given his okay on,
okay,
and reviewed. They were put through,
okay,
and they failed accordingly. And when I ran it by him a week ago Friday,
okay,
he had looked at it, and he says, what I'm reading already separates it out.
So he thinks the actual action's been done?
He says, you're fine. If you want to modify it, we can modify it.
Okay.
But he said there was an awful lot of language in there that he didn't think was appropriate, and this was a conversation that we were having.
Wow.
And the main conversation had centered around the sewer, because we're still dealing with getting that project
started.
You
mean your meeting with him?
Yes, it was centered around that.
Okay.
So, we'll...
So at the end of the
He was not comfortable in supporting those two charges. Okay, as they were written at this time.
So the prior meetings, I can recap this. At the prior meeting, he really hadn't reviewed those ordinances.
There was stuff that he had not reviewed that did go forward.
And on top of that, he doesn't, it sounds like at least initially, he doesn't think it's even necessary.
He says, the way he's reading it, and it was very quickly when he was looking at it, that it was separated out.
In the past.
Back in 11, at that time.
Mark? It's already been done?
But we will look at it, and we do have a couple of things to look at. One was, we did get a letter from the ethics, from Ray on the ethics.
Okay.
To talk about that, and we can do that at a, I don't have it on the agenda tonight, but that was one to look at. There was the emergency management, one that I was looking at, discussing it with Steve.
Yeah.
Where we were looking at the constables. And looking at the constables, we really don't have to change that unless we change the number of constables that can be available from 7 to 12. Okay, I did send you guys a letter pertaining to, that I authorized the emergency management director to activate, if so warranted, if the need arose. And that's exactly what that constable thing was trying to do. So I just did an executive order, which I, you know, which is appropriate for the time being to keep him going. And from there, we, I think if we change, and again, this is an ordinance thing, and I'll send it to you. But we can, instead of redoing the constable, we just need to do the emergency management one. And I have not had a chance to talk with the ordinance committee due to vacations and so forth. They haven't met right now. Go ahead, Linda.
And before you said that meeting, did you have a time to meet on that day at that time? Because seeing they didn't have a meeting in July.
Is that the third?
Yes.
I ain't gonna, I went by with the town clerk, so.
It is the day of the Board of Finance meeting. Some, a lot of times they cancel their August meeting, but they haven't really talked about doing that yet.
They canceled July.
But they canceled through July, so there's a chance they won't cancel August. But okay. The middle of the summer, there's usually nothing going on in Board of Finance meetings.
Good point. I didn't even, nobody raised that.
And we did want to talk about ethics and some sort of ethics ordinance. In fact, that was one of the items that should have been on the agenda for tonight.
We can add it if you'd like.
If you want to add it? Sort of part of the town meeting issue. But that was sort of like coming up.
But now that date is in question, which I won't have an answer till tomorrow. I can't get an answer to tomorrow on the
regarding the finance conflict. You mean?
Yeah, I can't get an answer till tomorrow.
And the other thing that, again, we had talked about this before, the ethics ordinance might have been another topic for that meeting.
Oh, that's nowhere near ready to go forward.
Right.
Yeah, Ray will say the same thing. That's not ready. He made a suggestion putting it into two parts, which is what he sent to us. Okay. Let me talk to the town clerk in the morning and reach out to Aaron, because the Board of Finance meeting could always start their meeting, go into recess, come over, and then go back and put the meeting back on so we could do it on the 18th. That would be my suggestion that night.
Okay.
Trying to remember.
There's so many days it has to go out.
25th, week later.
We could.
Is that your first name?
We can do it on Wednesday. At that point, it doesn't matter. Where is the... Oh, here it is. Oh, it was pushed back because Renee will not be around the week of the 20th. As town clerk.
Could the assistant fill in or...
Something that I would have to propose to her. So she won't be back until the end of the month. Well, for that week, it goes from 22nd through the 26th. So she would be back. So, I mean, if we push it off to the end of the month because of the conflict with the, you know, the Board of Finance, then, you know, our publishing date doesn't matter. We can set that, our next meeting is going to be the 14th. So we got more than enough time to set it on the 14th at our next meeting. And set it for the end of the month.
When you say the end of the month, you mean?
It would be the week after, 30th or the 31st.
Could the assistant town clerk fill in or not?
I would hope that she could. So, I mean, if they're comfortable with the assistant town clerk, we could do it on the 18th.
No, I'm thinking of 25th, the 18th.
Oh, the 25th? Yeah, I'll see if she's available, if she's willing to do it.
Just a suggestion, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be away, but it doesn't matter.
Excuse me?
I'll be away, but it doesn't matter.
Away when?
The 25th of August.
You're away that week as well?
Mm-hmm. Where you going?
Excuse me?
We're not going to same place.
Who's in for? Yeah, it's got to be posted 5 days. Five full days in. So our next meeting is the 16th. God, I hate the phone, it keeps going off.
Well, we could do a special meeting though, so.
To approve the town meeting date? Sure.
Yeah, all right. Okay, let me get a clarification from Renee.
Sure.
If we can do that, and if not, we're going to be meeting anyway for interviews in the next week, as soon as we can settle on a date. And Marie will be in contact with you. Okay. I'm good with that. Check for Renee. Okay. All right. Appointments, Economic Development Commission, two alternates. Which I have in front of me. I don't think she gave you a copy of them. Did she?
No.
Okay. All right, what we have is two alternates. They both expire on alternating years. One expires the 31st of December of this year, and the next one would expire December 31st of 17. So it's just to stagger them, it's what the requires. So what I have tonight is one for Kirsten Forrester, which is the December 31st, 2016, and Robert Larkin, which is the December 31st, 2017. Because there was two of them, we put the names in random, picked one, and the first one got the first one, the second one got the second one.
You want to make that a motion?
So we can take, I'll read off the first one. Appointment, August 2nd, 2016. Kristen Forsberg is hereby appointed to serve on, I'll cross out the word as, on the Economic Development Commission as an alternate for the town of Thompson, term to end December 31st, 2016. As an alternate, Selectman Ken Bosley, Shana Smith, Stephen Herbert. Normal stuff. Do I hear a motion for this?
Oh, okay. I so move.
Oh, I thought that was him.
Excuse me?
I thought, can you read it? That wasn't a motion, he was just reading it? Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. Steve made the motion. I thought you had made the motion.
No, I just read it.
I was confused. That's what I thought.
I was just reading it accordingly. It's been a long day.
It's okay. Steve made the motion then, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I will second for discussion. So the only problem that I have is obviously it's been brought to light a few times that I have sent or submitted a letter to the Chief State's Attorney's Office. And, you know, both of the previous administration is in question, and I feel like everyone from that previous administration is currently under review with the state. So I personally feel uncomfortable having somebody serving on as a position while we figure out exactly if there was any wrongdoing. And that's just coming for me from a moral and ethical standpoint. I just personally feel uncomfortable. Obviously, it's not a one-person decision. It's the entire board. But I just feel that while the state is investigating, and her name is mentioned in my letter that I submitted, I would not feel comfortable appointing her at this point, just for that reason.
Any other further discussion?
I think she brings a lot of knowledge to the position. She served on the board before. I think she could offer a lot to the town. Being accused of something, if that's actually what you are, I don't think you've actually accused her of anything.
I believe I did.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm not sure of what you've submitted, so.
Yeah.
But I think she'd serve our town well.
Did she submit an application?
Yes, she did.
Okay, I forgot to check that one. I'm sorry.
Yes, she
did. I couldn't remember when she had served.
She did submit an application. So it does raise some interesting points.
I completely understand innocent until proven guilty. I just, for the reasons and just, you know, personally having been on that previous board, and just given the, you know, what I had seen or what I believe might be true, again, until we have the full report in from the state, we won't know.
Okay.
That's just my two cents.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. To vote?
Aye.
No.
I'm going to abstain on this at the moment.
So motion doesn't carry?
It doesn't carry. There's no, it's basically like a motion that didn't go anywhere. All right. Okay, the second one, and I'll make a motion appointment. Robert Larkin, he also submitted an application, is hereby appointed to serve on the Economic Development Commission as an alternate for the town of Thompson, term to end December 31st, 2017. Selectman Ken Bosley, Shana Smith, and Stephen Herbert. I make that a motion.
Second.
Discussion. Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I need your blue pen.
Oh.
It wouldn't look good in orange. You need this?
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'm just trying to remember certain things you get, certain things I get. Thank you. Okay, road list. You asked for some numbers, and Leo did present them. This was strictly on materials and not labor. Okay?
Which is only, obviously, a small part of the equation.
Yes, but anytime that Leo does any of his jobs, he...
Only part of the equation.
He always figures as to material and so forth, doing it in-house, that he would be doing it anyway.
Well, I understand that that's what he calculated, but I would like, why don't we at least estimate, you know, people days or people hours or whatever this is going to take to do the job as well. Assuming the town's going to do it itself, if that's the appropriate way it's going to be done.
Yep.
I think that would be a fair way to look at this. And I'm taking it that the material cost, whether it's a, regardless of the type of reconstruction or overlay, is exactly the same?
For the materials,
per,
yes.
What is that, cubic foot?
$72 a ton.
A ton?
Yep. The 72 is $72 a ton of asphalt.
That's per ton?
Yep.
And he's calculating it based on cubic something, it looks like.
He figured it out, however, 24 feet by 6,864 feet by 3 inches deep equals...
Which gives you cubic something.
Gives it, yeah, his cubic yards times $72 a ton, which gives him his funding there for materials.
Do you want the anticipated total hours along with the dollar amount,
yeah, I mean,
or an average?
Yeah, figure out what it's going to take to do it, which is more than just the material. There's more than just the asphalt involved.
Yeah, see, Leo, doing it in-house, he's never... No, I'm just saying, he's never done it in that fashion.
New experience for him.
Because the man hours are inherent cost.
Right.
Period. And he just does it based on that. Because the guys are working.
It's a cost. We pay these people, and they're doing this instead of other things. I think it's appropriate to figure out what the cost is of doing this.
Steve, I understand your rationale.
It's not just the asphalt.
I'm just explaining how...
I understand how he's done it, which is not the whole picture.
Which is not the whole picture.
As long as we're, I feel like we might confuse members of the public, though, when we start to add, when we put the full dollar amount, so it might be beneficial to have a spreadsheet that separates the materials versus the hours.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Okay.
That'd be quite fair.
But he did, in Leo's defense, he did it very quickly to give you the material cost for the roads.
I'm taking it's only asphalt that it takes to do this?
Based on what he was talking about, yes. And the only one that is not is the 518 for Fabian Road.
Pardon me?
The 518 for Fabian Road.
Yes.
That is accurate numbers based on the total cost with drainage and everything, because we submitted that for Steve Grant, the 518.
That's accurate because it's a Steve Grant?
Well, we had to figure the Steve Grant. That was figured in for total cost to do that job per mileage.
Cost of the asphalt to do it.
Asphalt and drainage up there. He took those numbers off the steep grant that we had applied for.
So it was more than asphalt, then it's other...
Yeah, that one, that's why I'm saying Fabian is more than that, yes.
And cost of the equipment and...
You won't have equipment in there. You're going to have drainage, the piping, the catch basins, materials. This is strictly materials.
Okay.
You're not going to have 9 dump trucks running 8 hours a day at so many miles.
I don't want
to. You're not going to have that.
I'm not asking him to spend his life doing a cost analysis, don't get me wrong. But it needs to be a little bit of thought given what it costs to do this.
Write down exactly what you want in the columns.
Okay.
And I will give that to Leo and say, this is what is being asked for. And that way he can compute it accordingly.
and give you, you know, if you want to know the man hours, how many days?
I think you would want to. What's the cost projection to do the job, to do a road? What's it going to cost us to do this? It isn't, I assume it's more than just the cost of the asphalt to do it.
We're talking diesel for the trucks that are doing it.
I don't want to get too.
So I think then if you ask, because I would think that that would be something that would be included.
If you're looking at it, whether we do it in-house or we contract out, then I'll have them figure it that way. Because that sounds like what you want.
But the in-house needs to have the added, the costs that aren't currently being included.
It really wasn't my goal, but that's something it could be used for.
Well, no, that's why I'm asking what you, so I understand to give to Leo what you're exactly looking for.
I think it'd be good to know the material cost. The materials cost, this is a part, clearly part of it. The cost either in hours or however you want to represent the labor cost involved in doing this. If there's vehicles involved, you're renting equipment or using equipment, if that's involved, I think that would be nice to note that what's involved in that. So we have an idea what it costs us to do this, to do these projects. I think that would be good to know.
No, that's fine. Just give me the parameters that you want Leo to put into the to the numbers, and that's fine. We'll get him that way. Usually, when Leo has done any of these things, he'll look at materials to do the job.
Right.
He's always considered in-house labor as part of whether they're mowing grass today, sweeping, doing whatever.
Sort of already paid for.
But it's already paid for. Per man, 40 hours a week, other than if we bring in an extra guy to, you know, to offset, you know, some of the, you know, some of the part-timers that we bring in for 2 or 3 days.
I like that identified as a cost. That's a true cost of doing the job.
That's how we present it to the Board of Finance.
Right, and usually we bring it into the board, but there's separate columns. He'll put it at so much to, you know, to do X, Y, and Z road. Labor is in our budget. Based on that they're working 50.2 weeks.
Again, I would like a better idea of what the cost is to do the job.
That's
which includes material and the other efforts involved in doing the job.
Yeah, because usually what Leo has done in the past, like if they bring in what they call the train, where they dig up the asphalt, that is, he'll figure that in. This road needs to be, you know, dug up, relayed back down like they did Reardon Road.
Yep.
He'll figure that all in, the cost of the train, and then what the top coat has got to be, and he'll figure it in that way, or any drainage.
Okay.
But if you're looking for it a little bit more in depth, you know, man hours, what he, you know, forsake so much, if there's any drainage or whatever that may be, you know.
Yes, I would like a little more depth.
Okay. It'll take a more involvement to get that, figuring it a little further. Usually he does most of that when we're at budget time.
Okay.
You know, figuring for the next year's budget.
Okay.
Or if we end up going out, let's say we tackle something that we hadn't planned on tackling because we have the time, or, you know, we deviated from one road, went to hell quicker than another one. He will then figure out, you know, where he's getting the materials from, whatever the state bid may be, you know, and project out and so forth.
And again, sort of getting back to your earlier comments about the roads they're working on now, which are not on this list. Mm-hmm. These are roads for, what's the time frame? These are roads for fiscal year starting in 2018?
With the exception of Port of Plain and Limehouse.
With the exception of the first two. So these are current.
He rated all of the roads that need to be worked. Rated them down based on the criteria that he put: reconstruction, overlay, chip seal, based on how he would group these roads and do them. Port of Plain, we know, is terrible. He's going to try and get some of that work done, you know, throughout the season.
Well, he's doing 4 other roads now.
Those are for this year's chip sealing.
And Port of Plain wasn't on them until...
Port of Plain is not a chip seal road.
Got you.
Okay.
he does that 5 to 6 miles. He starts tomorrow doing the seam sealing. He will be chip sealing those roads as soon as the oil and company comes back to finish off sand dam the 1 mile that's left, and then get up there and do these 5 to 6 miles. That will be done this year. Those aren't on the list. From there, his next priority is Porta Plain, Lion House, and he's going down based on the conditions of the road. So he's
at Porta Plain, Lion House are for, and when we say this year, I guess we're really talking this season, meaning this summer.
This fiscal year. Fiscal year, because we start July 1st to the end of June 30th.
So actually, it might go into this next spring.
Oh, yeah. That's part
all
of
right,
the. Yeah, no.
Okay.
That's part of the.
No,
you're right. It's not just a quick, short 3 months of work before winter comes here. That's all he's got. This also goes into the spring.
So these are for FY 17.
Fiscal year 16-17, correct.
FY 17.
Yeah. That's what, these are the two priorities.
Fabian and the ones below here, again, assuming we don't have.
That'll be in
this, which might happen, would be starting in FY 18.
Yes. Okay. Unless there's money left over, he's ahead of schedule, then he'll start to do.
Right.
But this is the sequence that he wants to tackle these roads in.
Okay.
Based on their current conditions.
Okay.
So and again, it's
Fabian, Oak Hill, so on with the after Lion House.
Yeah, and like I said, unless he does something changes, you know, intermixing or whatever.
I can understand. So
yep.
I get the change. And,
So if you give me the parameters of the extra numbers that you want in, I'll present it to him.
Okay.
And he will get those to us.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Can you also get us the anticipated cost for the sweeper? Because I forgot what we had.
Cost of the sweeper?
Yeah.
Cost of the sweeper is $200,000. It figures out to be $216,000 with all of the interest with the lease purchase.
Okay, thank you.
But there's been conflicting reports on that, whether it's 53,000 or 54. If you remember that, Steve. One moment it was 53, then it was 54, then it was back to 53. But it's 200 plus the interest on the whatever the lease purchase is.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Highway maintainer hire. We have a candidate, as we know. He has accepted.
Excellent.
He will be giving his appropriate notices and so forth for working, and of course that creates a domino effect that we also have to go out to replace one of the positions that he is vacating as well, and we know that from our conversations on the at our last special meeting. So at this point, I would make a motion to hire Dan Petrie as the highway maintainer.
How do you spell Petrie?
P-E-T-R-I-E.
P-E-T-R-E.
R-E.
One second.
Discussion? Hearing none? All in favor? Aye. Website. We want to have some general discussions on that.
You didn't get my email?
Yeah, you still wanted to have it on the, even though that the presenter was not.
Yeah, I hope to have a potential provider to have a proposal for us, but they withdrew their proposal. Very interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I do know you've interviewed a couple or had a couple talk to you or something.
Well, I've sent you both information.
A virtual town hall.
It was virtual town hall that a few of the towns in the area are using, and one is Killenly, Putnam, Pomfret for three right off the bat. They did make a presentation based on the cost of that. And you got that there was a initial about $7,000 building of the site and then maintenance of about $2,700. Those are round numbers. So you're looking at around 10 grand to redo our site completely to go forward if we were to entertain that company. And of course, they would be more than happy to do a full presentation to everybody, et cetera, going forward. But that was a preliminary that they agreed to come in, and Maria and I sat down, and they just kind of showed what they had and gave us an overview, and that they gave basically almost probably 18 hours of support or whatever. I mean, it was phenomenal, and they encourage the usage of the site as far as maintaining it, and they're there for the support and do the construction type stuff, but they did it by webinars and different things of so forth. So it's something to consider, and I recommend anybody that's here to look at Killingly Pomfret or go to a virtual town hall. They're out of Boxborough, Mass. Take a look, see, they have a variety of them just for your own sakes to do this. So that was one potential. There is, I did reach out to somebody today, NECOG's website. I happened to ask John Filchek who they use, and it was Brown Bear.
I saw their designer, just the name of it.
Yeah, Brown Bear Creations or something like that, I'm not sure. It's at the bottom of NECOG's homepage. The costs there were, for what NECOG gets, was $120 a quarter, and the menus for whatever they do other than that. I did reach out to her just to ask her. We use Joomla, which is what our design is based around, the templates and so forth. And it's to find somebody that is willing to, if we stay with the current software that we're using, that we invested in, coming into this fiscal year, that we had invested in, the town did, that was $1,500 using our webmaster. He had upgraded it. It has been more workable. It is a work in progress. We are getting as much as we can out of it as we learn as we go along. Stuff is getting up there. Could it be more aesthetically better looking and so forth? I'm sure any of the sites can be, and maybe this one can be developed into it. I don't know. Again, that probably is a conversation if we entertain to go to a different interview, a different webmaster to what they can and cannot provide, or is there a lot of limitations on that as well? Right now, there's content on our website that we need to upgrade. Marie is doing a great job of juggling everything at the moment, while we try and get, fill the position again that we will be interviewing very shortly for. That will kind of free up some of the load that we can spend a little bit more time here, a little bit more time there on a couple of different things. I don't know if we're 100% happy with the Joomla template either, or maybe we're just scratching the surface of what we can get out of it. And I think that's where we need to go, is look at how can we build on it, or do we run away from it and go to something else? So I encourage anybody that has an idea for a webmaster or whatever that we can reach out to and see if, as a board or even the public, if they have somebody, steer us in the right direction, to get that to be moving forward. I would love to, we did invest in it, if we can make great use out of it, then our investment looks a lot better. Mm-hmm. So,
if we do have any potential providers, I wonder if you wouldn't mind inviting me in. I'd like to participate. I know that might mean we have to call a special meeting, but I would really like to attend that if I could.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I'll call a special meeting. that's not an issue at all.
The one proposal that you did send me copies of, you have some concerns with.
Which one? Virtual?
I think it was virtual.
Like,
trying to keep the one separate. The, it would be the amount of funds that they wanted to provide the initial site.
Yeah.
Even though we spend the money to develop the site, if you leave them, you don't get to keep the site.
That is correct.
And that's a problem in my mind. You spend the money for it, but it's not ours. So that I, you know, just philosophically have a problem with that. I understand to some degree why, but.
I don't really understand why.
I don't like that kind of thought, so. Maybe because a lot of that's boilerplate. They, you know, they have it in a lot of other towns, not that it's wrong that they have a boilerplate, but that's why.
I can understand from a business standpoint why they're doing what they're doing.
Sure, I understand that. So,
yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Doesn't mean it's right for us.
But if you're charging a lot of money for it, some of you think you ought to be able to own it or keep it as you move on, kind of thing, so.
I'm not disagreeing.
So.
That's why I just said if we can find somebody that, you know, that Jumula can, that what we currently have can be expanded upon, and it's something that we should obviously entertain.
So what are we doing now? What's our current status?
Current status is we had a training class with Mr. Stratus, with Marie.
Right, last month.
Last month, and he has been very answering her questions and so forth.
Sure.
He has, we have all the rights that we're supposed to have.
Okay.
Yes. Which was good to know. So we're working on, you know, that's moving forward. He has been, just from that conversation, there's been a couple of minor upgrades to it that you wouldn't notice unless you're using the site, but Marie had made a couple of comments in that he had, I think he put a search box on it now, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And there wasn't one before.
All right.
So some of these things are, if we ask, he puts them on.
Okay.
It's almost, he's very good at what he does, but we have to tell him what we want.
Do we have a contract with him now?
Currently, the contract expired July 1st.
Right.
His contract is for, right now, 6 months increments at $600 for 6 months.
Okay.
Okay. Right now, I don't have any other answers.
Right.
You know, as far as that, it had been at 1 year, and we cut it back to 6 months.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a lot of money for what we're spending, and some of it could be that we need to maybe ourselves reviewing it and saying this, it needs that, and, you know, getting some of that information to Marie so she can reach out to him to make those changes. You know, it is the town's website. If somebody sees something that may be more aesthetic or a comment, we welcome it. You know, especially, you know, please see something, let Marie know. So based on that, and I think what we're getting from him overall right now, unless we find a better avenue or go out for a proposal, that we stay where we are.
Okay, so that's now where
I would say
provider, and it's a 6 month contract for a 6 month.
Correct.
Okay.
So that would be till the first of the year, and I would, I'm very comfortable with staying right there at the moment, and of course exploring all other options of.
And we have a good working relationship with the gentleman.
Yeah.
And
per
and
se,
we,
yes.
And we have no. We have full ownership of our site?
Yes.
And full access?
Yes.
Right. Well, and full ownership, it's our site. Nobody else has the keys to the kingdom, so to speak.
Well, it's our site. He has complete administrative rights to it, to do what he needs to do.
Right, but
we have also the same equivalent of rights that he has.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Thank you. That was a concern at one point.
It's been a concern.
Thank you.
It was well noted for a while. Okay, so we are there. Again, I don't know if, I mean, any we can have a meeting with them at any time and ask them to come in. If you wish, see what his schedule is and hold a special meeting and have a general conversation with them how to improve on it, you know, whatever. Or if you know somebody that is...
I was a little concerned that the site, we didn't have the ownership, if you will, for lack of a better description of the charter.
It turns out we had it all along.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. But it was not portrayed that way.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that.
All right. So, we're good with it. So, again, at any time you feel that you would like to meet with them or have a suggestion, or you can meet with them.
Yeah, sure.
Give them a conversation on your own.
Of course. Thank you.
You know, ask, feel free to do so. It's all of ours without a doubt. And I would encourage, if you do have time, to have a quick conversation with Marie as well.
Sure. No, I thought.
You know, on it, because she's well versed in where she's at. And like I said, I wish she had a little bit more time as soon as we replace the, you know, get our staff back up to where it is, we'll be in better shape. So, anything else? Okay. All right. Citizens' comments. Do anybody have any other business? I don't.
No.
Okay. Citizens' comments. Don, please state your name.
Don Demento, 40th. A couple things. I wanted to thank Shana for remembering. But I have a comment. I know Paul Baer mentioned about the fire station and he had some problems with some people. And I believe, Steve, you took and had him come explain to us what was going on at the last selectman's meeting, which I thought was great. Here's my problem. This is the Board of Selectmen. And what I'm about to tell you is the facts, not fiction, and I want it for the record. The application that I just went through the wetlands went through with some conditions. But I would like this board to know for the record and the public to know for the record, the application upstairs on November 16th was filed. It had some blank spots. It had Paul Lenke as the landowner, representing the town of Thompson as he's the landowner. It also had River Junction as the landowner, and it had River Junction as the property owner, also as the applicant. The application was never clocked in with the town clerk, which is part of our rules and regulations. The road was never delineated. The trail was never delineated. His own land was delineated. So this application was taken from the wetlands agent. It was brought to the commission. And currently on that commission, none of the members went through their five-page application. But if they did, it would never have been acted on in the first place. $27,000 later that I spent of my family's money, not my money, my family's money, my wife's overtime money, my money, to get right back where we started, September 15, 2015, the day Shana Smith wrote a letter to the Chief State's Attorney's Office saying she felt that she was in fear and had concerns that the Board of Selectmen, Mr. Paul Lincoln, was going to do things behind closed doors. And voila, she was absolutely correct. He filled out an application. After he took no action on it twice, he filled out an application and request to do the road. They reneged on it. November 5th, he gave him permission to gravel the road that the town doesn't own. He didn't do nothing with it because he knew he had already took action after taking the action. So the Chief State Attorney's Office has all this information, and I gave him a packet as well reminding him of it. So tonight, when the appointment for Mrs. Forrester came up, I was glad that Shana remembered what had taken place. We had a public hearing, December 17, 2014. You were not present, I don't believe, Steve. But Kristen Forrester said she got a letter from Mr. Leo Adams on the road list. The star road was .339. We now know that it was fraudulent. She got a letter from Leo Adams, and Leo Adams gave us a sworn statement saying he didn't give that letter. So until the investigation is over, I want to say anybody's guilty of anything. but she's guilty of lying to the public that night in front of all of us. But it could have ended back then. It cost my family $27,000 to now become in front of the Board of Selectmen. But if I don't tell the Board of Selectmen the truth and the facts, then you guys can't say, well, we didn't know. Because now you do know that the application should have never been acted on. It should have never went forward. How do you have an application of land you don't even know if you own and put the cart before the horse? We had 8 or 9 meetings, hearings in this. They didn't accept any of our intervener stuff that we put in. I laid in that water. I took pictures. I had tape measures. I did everything, videos, anything you can imagine. And a young kid that was appointed, 13 months, was the spokesperson for that meeting on the last day, last Wednesday. I looked him up. He's only been on 13 meetings he's been to. He's not a wetland genius. So they didn't take our stuff in consideration. Fine. I'm here tonight to tell you I'm appealing the wetlands decision. I'm also here to tell you that I filed an application to join the Wetlands Commission. Because if that application came before me, anybody's application, I'm not taking anybody's word for anything anymore. I'm going to read it. And I would have seen there's no alternatives. The application is blank on certain pages of who the landowner is. You got two different landowners saying they own the same land. It wasn't clocked in. That should have all been picked up by 6 members of that commission. Some of those members have been on here 10 years. And just so the Board of Selectmen knows, in 2004, I asked a question at a public hearing in the Wetlands meeting. The non-use of Star Road, will that be put in writing? And it says, Bob Messier says, it will be put in writing. I brought it to their attention. Also, the P&Z board said it was prohibited to use Star Road. You explained to me how 14 years ago, it was all prohibited, 12 years ago, it was prohibited because no one knew the condition. You had wetlands back then, but now they're even worse, but it's changed. The board needs to know all this information because something might come forward, because I heard it was kicked back to the board. And he might come back with a request to try to gravel the road. You need to know the facts and the truth. I'm here to tell you the facts and the truth. Some people wouldn't do what I do. I want to be as honest as I possibly can. If anybody thinks that I'm making this up, I would like the board to bring the Wetlands Commission, have them sit right here like we do with the fire department, and let them explain to the public how their application got from that office to their hearing and got pushed through. I met with a guy in Putnam named Freddie Wojcik. He's the building inspector for here a long time ago. And he told me, it's called pushing the envelope. It was wrong. I was done wrong, and I want it on public record that the people's council have done wrong to allow this to happen. You should not. If you don't have any control of that commission, someone should be able to voice their opinion. I went to Marla. I explained it to her. It shouldn't have been acted on. I was completely ignored. My attorney said it, everybody said it. It was completely ignored. That application should have been denied from day one. We all know it. So that's why I'm here to tell you that I'm appealing it. But I think that there's no communication between the different boards. And no one tells you the facts. Things are left out. And I hope it changes. Because tonight, if Shana didn't mention that, no one would have been aware of it. We all were aware of it. And I'm glad, because I was going to say something, she didn't. And it's not about pointing fingers. It's about doing what's right moving forward. The town paid $13,000 in bills to Mr. Sainage. As well as I paid, they all paid, everybody in this room, we all paid. And it's wrong. And I paid what I paid. And that was wrong, to be right back where I started before I hired an attorney. And the same night that Shana wrote that letter, I hired an attorney that night, and my letter was presented. And so we're not going to take any action, let the neighbors fight it out. Well, obviously the neighbors didn't fight it out, because we're right back to square one. And people need to hold people accountable and know all the facts when it comes before your commission. I think I can make a difference on the Wetlands Commission. I think I can keep people honest and keep them honest. I'm not saying everybody on that commission is crooked. What I'm saying is people should stand up and stick up for what's right. If you're going to vote no on something, don't let somebody twist your vote. You stand your ground. You explain yourself. We weren't explained to. and I just want you guys to know what's going on. You are the Board of Selectmen, and you oversee all the commissions. And someone should be presenting that, and someone should be walking into that commission meeting, the next wetlands meeting coming up, and ask those questions. How did this application get passed? It doesn't matter that it passed. There's a future one that'll be done the same way. And I have to bring it up as this is, but I didn't spend this kind of money. We're talking about people's lives here. I've been here 2.5 years, and we're back to square one. Has nothing to do, you weren't here the last commission. It doesn't matter. 2.5 years later, we're in August, and nothing has changed. And now it's going to come before you and come before the PNC. And I'm going to say in the same speech to them, and I'm going to ask them, how can you sit there as a human being? You say you've got a heart, and you believe, you say you believe in God? But for crying out loud, let's start acting like it. And let's question these people. They are not going to let a developer run this town. Why I'm so up. It's wrong. Things were pushed through the system. And I don't like it. I don't like the way I was treated. And I don't think the townspeople should be treated the same way. It's not just me. It's their money, too. I want people to know the truth. Anybody wants to prove me wrong, get that person here and prove me wrong in public at a public hearing. Let's battle it out. Guarantee I win. Guarantee it. There ain't nobody in this town of Thompson that can tell this man right here about Star Road. Nobody knows it like I know it. Now I'm here to prove everybody wrong. That is not a road. The title search 65 page proves it's not a road. The Rhode Island letter tells them it's not a road. It was never owned by a borough municipality. And I was ignored and shunned away. I'm not going to be shunned. You're going to see my face for the next 5 years. So that's what I'm going to be, as long as it takes. But I want justice. I want the truth to come out. And I'm praying to God that the Chief State's Attorney's Office indicts somebody. Because it's just not right what happened to me, my family, and the citizens of Thompson, the people of Star Road. And I want something done about it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, hearing none. Next order of business is tax refunds. I have several. Okay, Lars Johnson, $6.09. I'll make a motion to refund the as I read the tax refunds. Acar Leasing Limited, $362.95. D Boys Transport LLC, $148.57. Keith Fedick, $21.37. Roland and Tina Grolu, $32.60. Mary LaRose, $54.52. Alan McKinley, $19.29. Mary McKinley, $38.99. Patricia Moran Kimsey, $55.38. Antoinette and Robert Nelson, $51.11. Nancy O'Connor, $69.06. Lucille Paquette, $39.35. Richard and Jane Partridge, $12.17. Dane Picard, $285.94. Norman and Bernice Ravenel, $12.61. Peter Ricard, $61.99. Dana and Julie Robbins, $8.23. David Smith, $5.43. Elizabeth Riga, $71.54. Dale and Henry Wilson, $46.02. Christine Wilbur, $26.29.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that concludes our business. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded. Favor?
Aye.
Thank you for coming.